Good deal. Good deal. I see a Bible. Will you look up Romans chapter 12, verse 1? I don't need it yet. I see another Bible. Will you look up 1 Corinthians 6? And I'll have you read starting in 17, but you'll read 17 first, but that'll be in just a minute. So, I am a spirit that... Pastor Bieran told you this Sunday night. I am a spirit that... Huh? I missed it.
Romans what?
I am a... Now, yours, Romans 12.
I am a spirit that has a soul.
I am a spirit that has a soul that...
lives
in a body. Okay? And what did he say about that? Oh, he said something very important about that. I am a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. He said, if you can get that concept down at this age, it will save you years of trouble down the road. I expanded it just a little bit, but he said that you'll be much farther down the road than a lot of people. Okay? So think about that. We are talking about the spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit is what? The God-given thing inside of you. It's who you are. Does it ever die?
No.
Okay, the spirit never dies. Right? And the soul is your what? Brian told us this last night. What? Okay, I was looking for a few. He used some specific adjectives.
Ticket.
Huh?
Ticket.
Huh?
Will.
Your will. Okay, will was definitely one of them. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Your emotions. Not the actual brain, but what's another word for brain that... Your mind. Okay? Because the brain is more the physical aspect of it. But the mind, the will, and the emotions. Talk to me, what were you getting with ticket?
Your ticket, ticket is like a key, your key to being yourself.
Being who you are, gotcha.
You can't go to heaven without a soul.
Gotcha. I knew you were tracking somewhere and I couldn't figure it out. But so, I am a spirit that... has a soul and it lives in a body. And we're going to talk about the body a little bit tonight. Okay? The body is this flesh stuff that we have to deal with. Bodies are all different shapes and sizes and heights. Bodies, the world has kind of said these are pretty bodies and these are ugly bodies. And that is so untrue. That is what media does. That is what the world has done. God says that I have made you in the likeness and the image of me. Okay? If any of you ever like to listen to preaching or teaching or want an additional lesson at times, I realize that you may not have time for that or whatever, but you can go on Eagles Way's website. And you can go back in the archives and you can watch or you can listen, podcast, whatever you want to do. But Pastor Buren's message, it's almost been a few years ago now, 2 or 3 years ago, but it's I am who God says I am. Okay? And if you get that down at this age, you will be doing tremendously well. It's incredible. Awesome. So, but I want to talk a little bit about the body and... you are body, soul, and spirit. That means you are one third is your spirit, one third is your soul, and one third is your body, right? And that makes, how many is three thirds? Okay, three thirds make a whole. This isn't math class, I know. But so if you want to be whole, then all three have to be in the line, have to be in cohesion, have to be together, have to be working together. If you have a body and you have a spirit, but you don't have a soul, what are you?
Not whole.
That's very good. I just made that pretty clear. You're crazy.
A dead body with the Holy Spirit?
No, you're crazy. You're insane. You're probably in an insane asylum. Okay? Because if your mind, your will, and your emotions are gone, somebody's lost their mind, where are they at? Okay? But they still have a body, and their body may function properly, and their spirit may still be intact, but they're crazy. If you have a soul, and you have a spirit, but you don't have a body, what are you?
An angel?
No? You're a vegetable.
What?
You're a vegetable. There are people that do not have access to their body, but their soul is intact, their spirit is intact, and they can even, they're limited, okay, because of their body, but they still have purpose.
Why are they vegetable?
What if they're paralyzed? Okay, or they're on life support, or they're something has happened. It's called a vegetative state that you're in. They're not an actual carrot. Okay. Okay. They don't turn into broccoli, I promise. But that is a term, even medical doctors can use that term with that. If you have a body, now I did say soul, spirit, no body. So this one is, if you have a body and you have a soul, but no spirit that you're in touch with, what are you? You're everyone in this world that's without God. Okay? You're everyone in this world that's without God. If you have a spirit, and you have a soul, and you have a body, what are you?
A Christian.
You're a complete disciple of Christ. You're a Christian. And you're growing, hopefully. You're learning. You're going to be maturing. Okay? Read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 for me.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him.
Did you hear that? I wanted to read it one more time. This is Romans, okay, chapter 12, verse 1. And that it's talking to the church there, and it's telling them, and it was so important that started out the chapter with it. Read it one more time.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him.
What does it mean to give your body to God? Does that mean you have to sacrifice yourself and kill yourself on an altar? No. Back in the Old Testament, that's what, if you gave something as a sacrifice to God, that's what you did. But now it is to turn yourself over to his ways. Turn yourself over to his commandments. Draw in and be who he's called you to be. To not subject your body to sin. I want you to think about that for a minute. To not subject your body to sin. Why? Sin's a weight. Okay? Sin is heavy. What do we need our bodies for? Say it again.
So we can
move. Move, okay. So our bodies are what we do, right? So if our spirit's intact and our soul's intact, and if our body's intact, what we do should be about Christ. Okay? What else does our body, about our body?
It allows us to, like, serve him.
Okay, serve him. So it is where we go. It's what we do, and it's where we go. So you have a choice. If your body's intact, you have all three parts, where are you going to go? Are you going to put yourself in places that you shouldn't? Or are you going to put yourself in places that you should? Where's a place that you should put yourself?
Church.
Church is a great option. Where's somewhere else you should put yourself?
Helping people.
School. At your home. Where are some places maybe you shouldn't put yourself? The insane asylum, jail. What's something that's probably a little more closer to your level right now? Where are some places?
Detention.
Huh? All right, detention. That means you've done something that you shouldn't have done at school, which got you into detention.
What?
Juvie. That means you've done something. You've shoplifted, or you've rebelled in some form or fashion against law, and you've gone to juvie. What's something even that is kind of questionable, maybe, like, okay, that's a good one. I was thinking along the lines of maybe you've been invited to some parties that maybe you shouldn't go to, knowing that, oh, I don't have to do what some of the kids are going to be doing there, and it's okay for me to be there, but you, so, and the older you get, the harder those things are going to be and pressures are going to be upon you. Okay? And so when this weight comes, since last camp, when we had such just a tremendous worship time, and it was just, there was some personal ministry that took place, and there was some emotions of crying and God really touching people's hearts. I'm wise enough to know that you may have sinned since then. So you may have made a bad choice. You may have made a bad decision. And just one bad choice or one bad decision is, you know, not something that is horrible, but, you know, it's still a weight. And whether it's getting angry, whether it is, I mean, because anger in and of itself is not bad. I actually grew up, my parents kind of tell me, you're not supposed to be angry. Don't get angry. And I can remember being so angry one time that I took a broom and I slammed it up against the side of a garage and it snapped the broom in half and it went sailing across the way. And I was in an argument with my wife. I had just been married about a year or two. And she said, why are you so mad? And I said, I'm not mad. And you know why I said that? Because I had been taught that to be mad was wrong, and so I shouldn't get mad. Getting angry is not wrong. It's what you do with that anger that becomes wrong. Slamming things up against the garage door and raising my voice or throwing something or hitting things or hitting people. Because what happens is that anger turns into a hatred. And hatred causes you to sin. Causes you. And it's not a horrible way. Jackson, come here for just a second if you don't mind. And if you'll just stand right here beside me and hold your arm out, actually both arms straight out like this, okay? And just hold that for a minute, okay? You can't have a seat. John Henry, come here. Hold your arm straight out, okay? Just hold it right there for just a minute, okay? It's a weight, okay? It's not super, super heavy. It was a little more weight for Jackson than it was for John Henry. But just keep your arm straight and hold it there. But there are other things besides hatred. There are other weights that come. And they weigh you down. Like jealousy. And jealousy is something that will rob from you. When you become jealous, you're wanting something that somebody else has. And in the process of wanting something that somebody else has, you're usually not being thankful for what you do have. Because when you're consistently being thankful for what you do have, then jealousy doesn't come into play. Rebecca, can you come help me a second? Stand right here. John Henry thought I was going to put this on him. Just hold it right there for me. Just hold it right there for me.
Why is hatred way less than jealousy?
Sin is a weight. Your body is not designed to hold a lot of weight. See, what you say, and see, that's a whole other ball of wax, the power of the tongue. I'm not even going to go there tonight when we're talking about the body. But the tongue is the most wildest, untamable. The word says it's even almost untamable. Okay? Unless it's in complete submission to Christ. But the weight of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Somebody made you mad. I am so mad at them. How are we doing, guys?
Good.
Not a problem? Hanging in there? Yeah. Becca's struggling just a little bit? When you get really tired, you can set it on the floor.
Okay.
Okay?
Jealousy is just really big.
Yeah, jealousy is. And it's huge. It grows in your life. Jealousy, yeah. Jealousy doesn't get smaller.
Can I like go like this and put my elbows?
No, elbows can't be against you. So when you get to where you can't do it with your elbows touching, then just set it on the floor.
Can I try again?
Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. See, the word says in Matthew that in order for you to be forgiven by God, that you have to forgive. That's a pretty strong statement. That's pretty powerful. Because sin, unforgiveness, jealousy, hatred, what it does is it forms a separation between you and God. Doesn't mean God's not there. But sin forms this separation, causes you to not be equal with Him. It causes your spirit to not be in flow with Him, or causes your body to not be in flow with Him. Does either one of you want this one?
That's probably about how heavy mine is, John.
No.
Okay. The weight and the sin of lust. What is lust?
Please.
Lust is... How we doing? You can set it down anytime you want to set it down. Don't put your elbows in there. Okay. Just set it down anytime you want to.
I feel like that's a trick question.
It's not.
Y'all got it.
Lust leads to sexual immorality. Lust will destroy you. Lust will lead to pornography. Statistically now, it used to be that those that had issues with pornography was only males. Not only, but for the most part, it was like 90% was males, 10% was females. Those statistics have now shifted to 60-40. And it's rampant. As soon as the internet became so available to where it was in your living room initially, to now it's on your hip. The access to watch and to see and to put yourself in a position, it will destroy you. And crosses all boundaries. Pastors. Put those arms out there. Whenever you need to set it down, set it down. It's okay to set it down. I just need your arms out. Because it's playing a there you go. It's taking a toll on your...
It's not even that heavy. It just hurts my shoulders.
Set them right there. Set them right there.
Do we still stay here?
No, you can have a seat. It leads to doing things with a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you shouldn't do. It leads to your mind going places. See, the word says, don't commit adultery. But Jesus took it even a step further. He said, don't even commit adultery in your heart. So that means don't think about it. Don't dwell on it. Because let me tell you, what goes in your eye gate and what goes in your ear gate is there. Your mind is the most incredible computer there ever is. And when you defile it, when you take things in, you can't erase it. Now, you can be cleansed and you can move on. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But it's there. Man, lust, that was a bad one. Didn't kind of like talking about that one. And hatred, you know, that's, I consider that a really bad one. And that jealousy, it was heavy. Jealousy's bad. And you know, you don't really don't think about unforgiveness as really being sin, but it is. But what about one that maybe doesn't seem as bad as all of those? But in the Word of God, it uses it just the same. It's worry. How can God put worry with sexual immorality? How can God put worry with jealousy? How can God put worry because it's a weight that's on your body? And your arms are probably going to be a little sore in the morning. You're going to feel them. And just think. Come here, Jackson.
No, please. You will go straight back.
Another chance.
Okay.
Stand straight up.
What happens is we use our bodies to cope. I asked them to have their arms out here. And it got very heavy very quickly. And it was very easy for them to come to here. Okay? And the more weight that you get, the more that you learn to adjust it, to put it in different places, instead of releasing it. To the point that yet somehow we get backpacks and we begin packing all of this stuff into a pack that you could walk to the cabin with that.
Yeah, I
could. Okay? Can you see him? He is leaning forward so that he doesn't fall over backwards.
Okay? No, I want to do trust fall.
But it is changing him. And if he were to wear this for the duration of the rest of the camp, he would be exhausted. Think about how it weighs on you. Where does it weigh the most initially? I'm going to tell you. It weighs the most initially on your soul. And you know why I know that? Because I know that all of you have heard the Word of God. And you know what's right from wrong. And you know that when you keep these things and you're holding on to those things, it causes your soul, your mind, and your will and your emotions to become weak and tired. Worry will cause you stomach ulcers. Worry will cause you to break out into hives. Worry will cause you to, all different kind of physical things happen from people because they carry things they're not supposed to carry. And see, you can come out of it now. This sack. Of heaviness is not, you are not designed to carry it. John Henry, can you read that scripture verse for me?
Yes, sir.
Verse 17.
But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
You didn't hear it, did you? Read it one more time.
But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
Okay. What it's saying is if you have accepted Jesus into your heart, then you have become one with Christ and you're one spirit. And so you, when you do that, you have taken this backpack that is so heavy and so hard, and you have gone and you've taken it to the cross and you've laid it down. Read the next verse.
Flee
fornication.
Every sin that man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
Okay. Fornication, it says sex outside of marriage. Okay. So it says flee that. Stay away from that. When you sin, because you're joined with God, not only you're sinning against your own body, you're sinning against God. Read the next verse.
What? Know ye that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own.
Okay, and I'm going to read it out of a version that you can understand. And there's no ye's in there. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. When Jesus went to the cross to die on Calvary, why did he do that? For our sins? Don't be bashful. Say it, girl. You got it. He did it for our sins. What does that mean? He paid a price so that you don't have to pay that price. That weight that has been carrying around, that's heavy. When you ask Christ into your heart, you laid it at the cross right there. That's what you did. Whether you realize it or not, that's what you did. He was hanging there, and you laid your burden down. Guess what we do sometimes? We go back and we pick it back up. We lay it down, and then we sin again, and we don't ask for forgiveness, and we start carrying it around again. And it becomes weight, and it becomes burden, and it becomes heavy. And you know what it means? You did? It means you're saying to Jesus, what you did on the cross wasn't enough for me. I'm going to carry this burden around. I'm going to carry this weight. In just a second, I'm going to give you the opportunity to take communion. And we're going to take communion in a little different way. And there's a couple of things I want you to think about when you're taking communion, because this is just a cracker, but it's probably a cracker you've never had before. Because what I want you to do is I want you to think about Christ in a way that you haven't thought of Him before. Because even though Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, He is new every morning to you. Because you can realize something. Pastor Buren has been doing this for 40-something years, and there's still things that he is finding new about Christ. Greg, I might have to just play quietly back where you're at. But something I want you to think about His body and what He did. They took a cat of nine tails, they called it, which was leather straps. Had, do you remember, was it seven pieces of leather strap? And they took pieces of glass or stone, and I don't know if it was glass, I know it was stone, and they put it in the leather so that when they hit Him, it just cut His back. And they took that thorn of crown that they made that had all kind of thorn. Have you ever pricked your finger before on a thorn? It hurts like crap, doesn't it? You're like, ow! But they just took that thorn of crown and just set it on His head. And His body was broken and crushed. And He did all of that for you. And in just a moment, when you take communion, you're going to pop that in your mouth. And you're either going to have, it's not like the ones at church, where it kind of just tastes horrible and dissolves. You're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to bite down on this and remember? Because see, remember, it was Christ said, do this in remembrance of Me, of what I've done for you. And as we crunch and crush His body, I don't want it to be weird for you, but I want it to be real for you. It's still cracker, okay? But I want it to be real. And then you're going to take His blood in a little different way than you probably done it before. Still grape juice. Just hasn't been smashed yet. And you're going to take it and you're going to put it in your mouth and you're going to have a decision to make. Am I going to crush it like He was crushed for me? The beauty of this whole thing is this. Is that He says, when you come to My cross and you drop off your burden, you drop off your sins, and you take My body, and you take My blood, and you take this in remembrance of Me, that you are cleansed, that you're made pure, that you're made whole. There's no more godlike that you can be than right after you've just taken communion. It doesn't mean that you aren't going to mess up again. But if you do, or when you do, I want you to think a little bit quicker, God, please forgive me for doing that. Because I know what You did for me on the cross. So what I want you to do is bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want you to begin thinking about in your own life, what rocks are you carrying? What sin might you still have? What do you need to lay at the cross tonight? It might be a fight and an argument with your parents. It might be jealousy and hatred with some friends. It might be lust and some sexual immorality. It might be that you're worrying and not trusting God. And we're going to be kind of slow about this, and what I want you to do, when you feel like you've identified what it is, I want you to come up, and I want you to pick up the backpack and just set it back down. And when you do that, you're setting down and you're laying down your sin, your burdens before Christ. And then I want you to walk over and grab you a grape, grab you a cracker, and then go to your chair. And when you want to, I want you to take the bread first, his body. And I want you to remember, his body was broken so that your body doesn't have to be. Then I want you to take the grape and know that it's his blood that cleanses you and makes you whole. So Greg's just going to play a little bit, and whenever you're ready, whoever wants to, just one at a time. Don't form a line. Just you can get up and go. If you haven't yet taken the bread, take the bread and partake of his body. Take his blood. Lord, I ask, Father, Lord, that you forgive me for the times that I don't quickly repent and I carry the weight of sin. Lord, I don't want to cheapen what you've done on this cross for us. I thank you, Father, Lord, that we don't have to be a slave to fear because we're child of God. You're no cleaner, and there's no cleaner that you can be than you are at this moment. There's no more refreshing. The presence of the Holy Spirit is so sweet and so powerful right now. And if you're sensing or not sure what, just know that that's what that is. Why is that important to know what that is? So that when you sense and feel it again, you know what's going on. Your spirit, which is your God-given you, who you are, your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions, and your body. When all three of those are come together, you are a child that is serving and seeking after Christ to become like Him. And I just feel to give opportunity, if somebody is wanting to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to receive your prayer language, then I just want you to step right down front here, stand right in front of me, and I want to pray for you, if that's you. Anyone else? Thank you, God. Anyone else? Just step out if that's you. Don't let fear keep you from it. If it's not time for you right now, that's fine. But don't let fear keep you. See, the Spirit of God is all for this. The soul, the mind, will, and emotions, because you've stepped forward, then you're saying, I want that. So the last thing to do is for the body to come into play. Which just means that you just have to speak it. So as you begin praying, I want you to begin by saying words that you understand, which are thank you, Lord, and whatever you're thankful for, begin blessing Him and begin saying that out loud to where I can hear you. And begin praying that. And then if a word comes to you that you don't understand, say it. And if you want to keep saying it, you keep saying it. If other words come, great. If they don't, that's fine also. But I'm just going to lay hands on you and pray for you. And the Word says that when you ask, you shall receive. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, Lord. Begin thanking Him. Begin praising Him out loud. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your greatness. Thank you, Lord God. Speak it forth. And keep saying it. There you go. There you go. Thank you, Lord God. Sika tarabokanda basanda. Sika tarabokanda bokanda. Siki tarabokanda bokanda. Siki tarabokanda bokanda bokanda. Siki tarabokanda. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. You're a mighty, awesome God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Praise your holy name, God. Thank you. There you go. Just let it go. Release it. Let it go. It's okay. Speak it forth. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you pour out your so many blessings. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is so sweet, so inviting. Thank you, Father God. Siki tararabo shandarabo ki tararabo shanda. Sika tararabo sandarabo ki tararabo shandarabo kinta. Siki tararabo shandarabo kanta. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Siki tarabo shandarabo kintarabo sanda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your love that's unconditional. We thank you, Father, Lord, for the, Lord, the tools that you've given us to follow you. For your word, that we can pray. Lord, for the church, Father, Lord, that will help to encourage Lord, for our prayer language that speaks directly to you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We ask, Father, Lord, that you seal this night. Lord, in the lives of every person that is here, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Cool. How many received your language? I saw that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Cool. If you didn't, it might be tonight. It's going to happen. Because spirit, soul, and body are all going to be together as whole. And those of you that didn't step forward, that's okay. At some point in time you want to, great. If you don't want to, that's okay too. It is not a prerequisite. It doesn't make them more spiritual than you. It just means that they have another tool that they can use in their walk with God. Love you guys. You can move back to your seats.